Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. This week's guest is Kathleen Ribeiro, the founder of KM Service. Drawing from her own experiences as an online business owner, Kathleen helps other female business owners set up effective systems that help them thrive. Welcome to Right Here in Mass, Kathleen.
Hey, Ashley, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Please share with our audience more about you and what you do.
Absolutely. So as Ashley mentioned, my name is Kathleen. I am the founder of KM Service. I started back in January of 2022. I was in the automotive industry for over 10 years.
Wow.
And I worked all through COVID, all that fun stuff. And then ownership change. And I was in a funky spot. So I started KM Service as a general virtual assistant for other females after being in a male dominant world for a very long time. I just needed other females to support me. So I started that back in January 2022, and I juggled it with my 9-to-5. In May 2022, I was actually able to step away from my 9-to-5 and go all in with KM Service. So only 4 months after I started, we're now a little bit over a year in, and I have specialized in helping other female entrepreneurs with their systems. So all the back end, that tech stuff that are in their business, once you have the right tech in your business, it's so much easier for you to thrive, for you to get your freedom back, for your business to start working for you instead of you constantly working for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the services that you offer at KM Service, were those like transferable skills that you took from your work in the automotive industry, or was it just stuff that you really taught yourself and learned how to do and saw the importance and value of teaching other business owners?
So when it came to project management, I think who I am as a person, I am a project manager. So I was I loved all the tools. And a lot of it is actually comes from my background with immigrant parents. They never understood technology. You know, I was the one making the phone call. I was the one when we finally got a computer in the house, I have to figure it out and stuff like that. So I think the ease that I have with technology has been helpful, because I've been in it since I was a kid, trying to make things work for my parents. So it was between that, just being comfortable with technology, a little bit in the background of helping management other people and how the process looks like to help manage. And then a lot of it was some DIY through trial and error. I figured out all the systems and I fell in love with them.
That's wonderful. And talk to us more about the specific services that you help your clients with and how you're able to support them in their businesses and lives.
Absolutely. So I help with project management tool setup. So that's your ClickUp, your Asana, your Trello, stuff like that. I also help with your CRM, your customer relationship management. That's your Dubsado and your HoneyBook. And then you have your email marketing. You want to make sure that you have a newsletter or you have somewhere you can add people to your list. MailerLite, Flowdesk, ActiveCampaign, all that good stuff. I tend to focus on those, but I also help with any website refreshes you need, or maybe like a one-page website where you're like, I just need something there. You absolutely need a website. Even if you are on social, you want somewhere someone can go and know more about you, your business, your services. So, you know, your casual one pager that has it all.
Absolutely. And I love that, especially for listeners who might not know, I own a full-time marketing agency in addition to Massachusetts Business Network. So exactly what you just said about having a website, even if you do have social media, is crucial. So I love that you just shared the importance of that. And so with your clients, does it kind of tend to be like almost a one-time project setup, or do you also offer ongoing services to support them depending on what their needs might be?
Yeah. So my thing is, we're trying to get back your time. That's why you have systems in place. Mm-hmm. And then with me, I'm also giving you back your time. If it's a one system setup, it's called a VIP day, where I get the whole thing done in a day. If it's multiple systems that we're working on, it's a week. So within a week, you just have all the foundations you need when it comes to your your systems. I do offer maintenance packages. So if you want to have somebody just there, if you're like, I need help, or I need to add this, or I need to add that sort of thing, you know, there's a maintenance packages in the back end after everything is done. But at the end, I do record how-to videos. So everything that I did for you, there is a video that corresponds with it, so that if you decide to do it in the future, or if you have a VA or somebody else on your team, you could absolutely use those videos after too.
That's perfect. And that's one of the things, I feel like we have the same approach with that, because one thing I say to my clients is, I don't want you to feel like you're married to me, where if we work together, the ultimate goal is to kind of have someone who can help support you with that aspect. So I think that's crucial that you give them those tutorials, so that way they have all the steps right in the palm of their hands.
Yeah. And a lot of times people are like, I just don't want to do it.
Right.
So then we do the maintenance package where, you know, you just know you have somebody there that can, you know, hop into your ClickUp and move things around, or you have a new team member and you're like, okay, well, I need you to add them to everything and make sure that they have an email address and all that stuff needed.
Absolutely. One question that I have for you, just from what you shared, you had mentioned for each of the operations part of the business, such as like your CRM and your email marketing, there's multiple tools that are available as options. And so for some people, especially if they're not used to doing the operations themselves, they might feel that analysis paralysis of like, oh my gosh, there are a million tools that I can consider. How do I know which one is right for me? Do you have a process that kind of helps to guide your clients in the right direction to help them pick the tool that is the best fit for them and what they're looking for?
I usually can let them know what I think would be best with them after a conversation. After a just quick discovery call, if they're super not tech savvy and they just want something super simple when it comes to project management, I usually say, let's go with Asana. Asana is simple. You put in your task, you say that it's completed, good to go. If you maybe you like tech or your business is very intricate and there's a lot of moving parts, I say use ClickUp. ClickUp is super customizable. There's colors, there's this, there's just so much. So after a conversation, I usually can let them know, you know, email marketing, if you want something simple, you go with MailerLite. If you want something pretty, you go with Flowdesk. If you're like a course creator and you need to figure out, you know, your conversion and, you know, all these stuff in the background, I say ActiveCampaign. So yeah, so once we have a conversation, I can sit down and let them know and be like, this is what I think would be best for you because of X, Y, and Z.
That's smart. And with that, for people who might be doing the DIY route of trying to set up all their automation systems, do you recommend that they perhaps sign up for free trials of a few different softwares at once to kind of dip their toes in the water and get the feel for it?
Yeah. So I actually just did a reel on this.
Oh, so there we go.
I have two tips. One is YouTube, which I like to say YouTube University. You can figure out everything. There's millions and millions of videos on YouTube. So hop on YouTube, take a look around, see what other people are saying. You know, they do ClickUp versus Asana. So my one tip, hop onto YouTube for sure. The second one is a lot of these places have either a free trial or a free version. As soon as you sign up to the free trial or a free version of it, they have their own resource center that also has videos that are based on exactly that software. So yeah, definitely take a look, do your research if you want to, or if you just want to ask, I'm happy to answer any questions too.
I love that. And speaking of what we were talking about earlier about not feeling like a client is married to you, I think it's important for people to remember that they don't have to feel married to a software that they use. So an example of this would be that when I first started my agency, I was on Trello because it was just me and I felt like it worked well. But once I started bringing on team members, I felt like, at least back then, probably 4 years ago, I was like, I don't really feel like this is super intuitive for multiple people. And so I made the switch to Asana. And even though that was very overwhelming with making the change, I realized that in order to support my growth in the operations that I needed to make that change. And so I think it's important for people to know that if they do need to change the tools or resources that they're using, that's absolutely okay. And something that they probably should tackle sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've helped people do that too. So not just, you know, project management. So for project management, we went from Teamwork and they're like, Teamwork's not really working for us right now. Let's use Asana. So we did a whole migration. Or, you know, email marketing, you might start with MailChimp. MailChimp is like super easy. It can be a little clunky. You know, their email list is is growing, so they want something new. So let's, you know, migrate everything over. Let's migrate your welcome series, your newsletters, and all that stuff too. So yeah, don't be afraid to use other things, especially in this day where there's so many features, so much stuff coming out. If something is working for, you know, is not working for you, find something that will.
Yes, I love that. And I feel like you might not even know what you need until you actually start using a software, where as you're going through with your operations, you might be like, oh, if this tool had this feature, it would make my life and my business a million times easier. So I think that's kind of helpful to know, is that what people are using right now, they might not always use. They kind of have to do a trial and error, honestly.
Yeah. So the migration that I did, we were Teamwork to Asana, but I found out they were in Asana years ago, but Asana just didn't have the features. So they moved over to Teamwork. Now Teamwork doesn't have the features, but Asana now does. So yeah, so just being on top of it and figuring out what works for you and your business and your team members is definitely, you know, the thing to think about.
Absolutely. And while we're on the topic of migration, I know that this can be a really bogged down task for people, where when they know they need to make a change with something in their system, they're just like, the idea of changing everything over is haunting, and therefore I'm not going to do it. Speaking from experience, I went through that at the end of the summer when I was just in a regular Google Drive for my company. And then I was like, you know what? I really need G Suite or Google Workspace, whatever it's called now. And it was a pain in the booty to transfer it all over. Once I did, I was like, why didn't I do this a year ago? And so for people who might be in a certain situation where they need to migrate something, do you have any tips or advice on how they can make that a little bit more seamless or easygoing and not seem so overbearing ultimately?
Yeah. So you're going to find, first you're going to find the software that integrates everything that you need. Mm. Right. And there's always an easier way of doing it. So if you're like downloading the CSV file or something like that, and then importing it, that's, you know, that's a quick tip. But I just block out a time, you know, and then have a to-do list. Like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what has to get done. Try to be a bit organized on it, and then write it down on paper. So that way, every time you get to like, I did this, you know what I mean? And just set aside the time, put it in your Google Calendar, turn off your notifications, because it can be time consuming, but you know that the end result is great. I did a project where the client was supposed to do something and it took her 3 years to do it, and I did it in a weekend.
Oh my gosh.
So you have to think of the satisfaction. You have to know that as your business is growing, first of all, that's fantastic. If your business is growing and you have to move softwares, that's a good thing, right? So just taking away that time, take away the negativity of it, you know, make yourself a plan and block out that time, you're going to get it done.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that advice of blocking off time. I know that for me, I just blocked off, I think it was a Tuesday, just completely blocked my calendar off and spent literally 10 hours migrating everything over. But I feel like I needed to do it in one swoop, because I didn't want to be in a place where, because not everything was migrated over yet, some stuff was in the new place and some stuff was still in the old place. I didn't want to be working in the two different workspaces. So I was like, you know what? I just need to do it once and get it done.
Yeah, block it off and set boundaries. Like, it's blocked off, that's it.
Yes, absolutely. Another question that I have for you is that sometimes when people are using these different automation tools, they're like, wait a second, I'm using 10 different softwares and 10 different platforms. Is there one platform that can do all of these things that I'm looking to achieve? If someone is in that situation where they just feel like they're constantly like paying for all of these softwares or trying to keep all these tabs open of different products that they're using, do you have advice on how they can find a way or find something that will almost streamline everything into one place?
I wouldn't say everything.
Right.
but I would, you know, I'd start with like a quick audit, be like, what systems am I using? What are they doing for me? Right. Is there a system that does it all, but I have to pay a little bit more, but I get to get rid of two other systems? You know what I mean? So like I said, a lot of things have the free version, but the more that you pay for all these features, you might be able to get rid of other things. So I know, you know, you say ClickUp has a free version, but then you have like ClickUp Forms and you're like, okay, well, if I'm using Forms here, I don't have to use JotForm or I don't have to use Google Forms. You know what I mean? So it's like, you might have to pay a little bit more for one software, but then you get to get rid of one or two softwares. So that would be one. Take a look at what your systems are doing. See if one software does it all and if it's worth the investment. The other one is Zapier. So Zapier is a third-party tool that helps you connect softwares that don't necessarily integrate on their own. Using Zapier, then you can cut down on other things because now you're having your softwares talk to each other versus this only does this, this only does that. I have to manually get something done, put a zap in. Now you don't have to do it.
Yeah, that's really smart, especially because the point that you mentioned of paying a little bit more to use one tool in order for people to cut out two other is huge because it's that whole factor of convenience. And personally, I say that I will always pay more if it's something that's convenient to me. And I think that's something that people should keep in mind is that spending a little bit more money will save you more time and likely more money in the long run by being able to streamline the things that you can.
Yeah. And I 100% agree that time is money. So if you're paying a little bit more, but now you just cleared off 2 hours at the end of the week, you could be doing something else with those 2 hours because you know that software is getting it done for you.
Absolutely. I love that. When people are looking to automate in their business, they might think, well, I know I need to automate something, but I'm not exactly sure what it is that I need to automate. Would you say that there's maybe like a handful of things that you think every business owner should automate within their business?
Yes. So, I think one of the big things is with your CRM, if you have people that want to reach out, you want to make sure that their client journey is 100%. So, you know, they reach out and they automatically get an email. Hey, thank you for reaching out. There are studies on this. I think it's 80 to 85% of people nowadays assume that they're going to get a response within an hour. And sometimes Wow. That's just not doable. No. You know what I mean? Especially in the year, like, you know, technology is everything. So if you have an automation in place where you're making that client feel good and be like, wow, this person got back to me. I know they got my email didn't get lost somewhere. I would definitely take a look at your client journey and making sure your automations work there. Your client want or future customer wants to feel that they're getting this personalized experience, which they can. You can make sure your automations are a certain way. But I would definitely stick to your client journey. And before you turn on the automation, make sure that you're going through it yourself. Put yourself in a client's point of view. Be like, was it easy to sign up? Did I get the email? Is the grammar right? Did I do punctuation? Before you put it out into the world and you're like, you know, a client gets an email and you're like, they spelled something wrong, or you know, the function that's supposed to say their name just says name versus their, you know, their name. Yeah. I would focus on your client journey, making sure that your client feels special and that it actually looks good. So definitely put yourself in their point of view.
Oh, I love that. In addition to client journey, would you say that there's anything else that businesses should automate?
Yeah. So your email marketing should be automated. Mm. So your email marketing, not only are they signing up for your newsletter or your freebie, they're getting follow-up emails, whether to say thank you or to let them know about your services. I think that is one of the easiest things to automate and kind of just have it going in the back end. If you're doing a welcome series with them where, you know, at the end of it, they know more about you, they know proof that you can do what you do. And then you're trying to sell something at the end. Email marketing is the easiest thing to automate and it just keeps working for you in the back end.
Absolutely. I love that. So I know that you mentioned that when you started KM Service, you were also still working your 9-to-5 for a few months. Do you have advice on how you were able to juggle the two for any of our listeners who might be in that same situation as well, starting a new business, but also still working the corporate life while they have to?
Yeah. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to make a little bit of sacrifices. I was lucky enough that I had so much downtime at my other job for the simple fact that I could do everything within a few hours.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was able to, you know, work on KM Service, but I'd come home after cooking, cleaning, you know, I was working on weekends. you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to feel like it's a lot, and that's okay because it's not going to last. And also, you're going to hustle. You're going to try to find clients. Some might not be a good fit. Just keep it going. It's going to work out. And then my third little piece of advice is take the small wins. That was so big for me that once I got a client, I was like, oh my God, somebody will pay me, right? And then I would get another client and it wouldn't work out. I wouldn't dwell on the things not working out. But if even if a client says, wow, good job, I'd be like, oh my God, good job. You know what I mean? So like, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to make it work. You're going to have to hustle for a little bit, but cherish the little wins, whether it's a good job, it's a new client, you know, someone paid you a little bit more than you're getting now, just all of that, put it together and have it motivate you because you can do it. Anybody can do it.
I love that advice of celebrating the small wins because as of this recording, I'm about 6.5 years into business and still now I'll sit here and think, I haven't really like done much. There's so much more I need to accomplish, but then I have to sit here and reflect and say, wait a minute. No. I've done this, 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 and this. And I think it's so important to exactly, as you said, remember everything that you've accomplished and everything that makes you feel good and not get so caught up in what other people are doing or feeling like you're not doing enough.
Yeah, no, just take it and run. And then the bad things, the first week I quit my job, two of my potential clients backed out. And I was like, I have a mortgage, I have bills. But it worked out because regardless, within 4 months, until today, all my bills are paid. Nothing has been left behind. Even a client that I worked with for a year, she goes, wow, Kathleen, that was such a great job. You made this so much easier for me. And I'm like, hell yeah, I did that.
Oh yeah.
So I'm still taking the small wins.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And while you were working the 9 to 5 and also building your business, what were your like client lead generation strategies or things that you were doing that were helping you to get clients while you're juggling the two?
I did almost everything besides put aside and say help. I was, you know, I didn't do great on social media at the time. But I was in so many Facebook groups. I was letting people I know what I was doing. I was pitching myself to any and anyone who had a business, even people that weren't even looking for help, and be like, hey, do you need help?
I love that.
I used one. It's called Freelancing Females, and they have a job board on there. I was doing it all. I was trying to get in front of people. I was giving people tips. You know, I had a portfolio that would send out to them. So it was very like online, trying to just get myself out there.
And I love that. Just the true hustle and grind of just doing everything that you can in order to build things up. Because I find that like once I was in the same place where it's like, I was just doing everything I could to build up my clients. And then eventually I got to that point where it's almost like the clients were self-sustaining, if that makes sense. Like you get referrals and naturally, and it becomes so much easier. But I just remember that first probably 2 years just working so hard to do anything and everything to get someone to hire me.
And honestly, it's changed. Like I said, I was applying to anything, everything, yeah, online, LinkedIn. But now I had such word of mouth that I'm not in the hustle anymore. You know what I mean? Like it's word of mouth. It's in-person networking. I have found has helped so much too. Just getting out there, they're putting an actual face versus like, you know, an online picture. A year or so in, it's networking and being in person and talking to them, figuring out their pain points. Like, how can I help you? And like, this is how I could help you sort of thing.
I love that. And I'm glad that you brought up in-person networking because I feel like it's something that a lot of people discount. And I always feel like I'm contradicting myself saying this since I do everything online with my work, but I'm like, you need to have that in-person face-to-face interaction to supplement the work that you're doing online. And I think it's so important to make a commitment to attend at least one event per month, if not more. And so can you talk a little bit more with our listeners or share to our listeners what exactly you've done in terms of in-person networking between groups that you have been a part of, or like maybe even a strategy that you've done when going to these events?
Lately, I've been going on Eventbrite and putting in networking.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So that does work. I have niched down where I typically only help women. So I do try to find other women organizations and stuff like that. There is one that I am going to in a week or two. And it's Female Founders of Boston. Her name is Alessandra, and she is the owner of Codable Media,
Oh, I
also
love
out of Boston.
Alessandra. She's
Yeah, yes.
amazing.
So I know she's switching things over. She used to be like female millennials, but she does a wine night. And I went to the last wine night, and it's small, it's not overbearing. We kind of go around the room. We're not passing out business cards, you know what I mean? Like it's more personal. And I found that I like those more. Where it's more personal. Maybe we're doing like a dinner versus like, 200 people and just passing out business cards. There's another one. Her name is Vanessa. She is the founder of Creative CEO. She actually does events in Boston, New York, and Miami. But I've went to one of her dinners, had a great time. Again, it was a small amount of us. And she's actually doing a summit in the New Jersey area at the end of the month, that I will be driving down to. So I
Oh,
try to
very fun.
stick to the smaller, maybe like female only, group. So that way I'm actually getting to know people versus just giving a business card and going on to the next.
Right. And I feel like that's so much less intimidating because you're with a group of maybe 10 people maximum that you're able to really build deeper connections with, rather than me personally. I always feel so awkward trying to walk into a group and like interrupt people as they're talking and being like, "Hi, can I jump in here?" And so I think having that smaller atmosphere and that smaller gathering, you build deeper connections in that aspect.
Yeah, no, I love it. 'Cause even if, out of 10 people, who's really going to convert into a client, right? But my mindset is, 10 people, if they know 10 people, that's now 100 people I now know.
Yeah.
And honestly, after being online for so long, just connecting with other women, you're just like, there's a value just right there.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that like once in-person events started opening up again, once things kind of changed a little bit with the pandemic, I was like, yes, sign me up for everything. Because personally, I feel a little bit Zoom fatigued and I don't usually tend to opt for online networking events because I feel like there's a lot more value just seeing someone and hearing their voice and seeing their facial expressions and really getting to know them as a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. So what are the benefits, would you say, of hiring an online business manager, someone like you, if a business owner is looking to really ramp things up, why should they work with a professional like yourself?
Well, if they don't know how to do certain things. So when it comes to, systems, that's a little bit techie, so they might not be tech savvy. So you definitely want a professional to come in, take a look around, figure things out for you. There's also, they don't have time. Business owners, especially solopreneurs or a very small team, think they have to do it all when they don't. When they say it takes a village, they didn't just mean when you have a child. It's also your business. You know what I mean? Like you want to be able to do what you love in your business and not get drowned out of everything else. So if you don't like your admin, if you don't like the your client engagement, or you don't like certain things of your business, that doesn't make you a bad business owner. That just means that your creative side of why you got into business is being drowned out. So you want somebody to come in, whether it's a professional or just someone that will help you so that you get your time back, not only to do what you love, but to be that business owner that can take Friday off, or if they want to take a Tuesday off. I know when I first got into it, I was hired, and it was because she was getting married and she was going on a honeymoon and she had nobody to help her own her business because she was a solopreneur. So I gave her the freedom back of knowing how to do everything in her business. She could take a step away and go on her honeymoon, or like vacations and stuff like that. I feel like a lot of business owners are like, well, I'm going on vacation and it's just me. What's going to go on my business? Especially if they don't have like a passive side where they have to constantly do stuff. And it's like, well, have some help. Let somebody help
Right.
you, so you have that time back.
Absolutely. And I feel like as women, we're so prone to view asking for help as a sign of weakness, but really it's a sign of strength. When you understand I can't do everything myself, and I can't show up and be my best self if I'm trying to do everything alone. And knowing that you can reach out to someone who can support you whenever you're looking for is huge and helps you to achieve those bigger goals. If you're trying to do everything on your own, you're automatically hindering yourself and causing yourself to hit that ceiling because there physically is a cap on how many hours there are in the day, and you don't have enough time to do it all alone.
Yeah, especially with burnout and everything, where I would hate for a business owner to get to the point where they no longer like their business because they feel like they're constantly drowning. If you ever feel like that, if you just, you don't have the time to keep learning things, you forgot why you got into business, you should have somebody helping you.
I love that. One thing that I didn't read in your bio, but is in our show notes for our listeners who will be going there, is that you travel in a van, which I found super interesting. And so I'd love for you to share more about that with our listeners. What prompted that? How you do it? All of that fun stuff.
Well, I am actually getting ready to do a at least a 3 month drive, starting in June. So I'll be gone all summer. My boyfriend had a van, and on our first date, he goes, "I have a big white van." And I was like, "I don't know if this is going to work out." But then when I saw it and we figured it, I was like, "Okay, this is like a cool white van, not a scary one." So he was the one that actually got me into it. Before that, I never went camping. I did nothing with the outdoors, but now I have showered in the wilderness.
Oh my gosh.
I've done it all. I really like going out west. I think my favorite place right now is Utah. It's amazing. But yeah, so as of this summer, I will go from here in Boston to California, from California to Alaska. And on the way back, from Alaska, we'll be going through Canada, hitting some national parks, and then back down to Boston.
That's
So yeah,
amazing.
so we have a little van. It's not one of those pretty ones you see on Pinterest and TikTok. It has your essentials. We have a bed. We have plenty of storage. We can cook in there. We have a little sink, and we have solar panels and Wi-Fi. We're both online business owners. It's really all we need. But yeah, no, we love it. We love traveling, kind of just hopping in and making an adventure out of everything.
I love that. And it's great that the van has Wi-Fi, which I imagine helps to keep things running smoothly for you. But as you're traveling, how do you balance being able to work too and drive and also make sure that you're truly enjoying and seeing the places that you're visiting?
So with all my clients and on my calendar, I block out dates, and it's never a surprise. I always let my clients know, hey, I will be on the road. These are my new hours. These are dates that I will completely be, not on my computer. We tend to wake up early in general, so we spend the morning until about noon or 1 o'clock just working. So we wake up. We do what we kind of need to do. If we're either working in the van or we stop at a Panera or Starbucks, we usually get our work done in the first part of the morning, and then we drive for the rest of the afternoon into the evening. If we know that we are going to stop and do an excursion, we're going to go on a hike or something like that, we let our clients know. We know that our calendar is blocked off. And then, at night we cook or we go to the gym, we shower, sort of thing. We both have some sort of gym access where we can access any gyms in the United States. Mine is United States and Canada, so go Crunch Fitness.
Oh,
So we break it up where in the morning we do most of our work, in the afternoon we drive, and we are very transparent when it comes to our clients and when we will be off grid.
that's perfect. And I imagine that both of you being business owners, especially online business owners, has allowed that flexibility of just being able to pack things up and go for months on end while still being able to deliver what you say you will to your clients.
Absolutely. And having the correct business systems in place, I have everything working in the back end for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I imagine that it's just been a really great way to use the fact that you have a business to do things that excite you, like seeing the country and the world and being able to explore all these new places that maybe you wouldn't have done if you were still in the automotive industry.
Absolutely, I would not be doing it. We went out to Utah for like 2 weeks, and it was just like I would never be able to do this at my under like a normal job.
And now you can. So that's amazing.
Yeah, no, I love it.
And what are your favorite local businesses to support?
So I think my absolute favorite is called Quesos with Love, and she is my charcuterie lady. Her name is
Ooh.
Neri, and she's out of Taunton, and she makes the most beautiful charcuteries. They're reasonably priced. And she for Halloween, it was like there was a little skeleton on it for Thanksgiving. So I think she is my number one. She's amazing. I love her.
You can never go wrong with
Nope,
charcuterie
not at all.
and cheese. Kathleen, this has been such an awesome episode. I really enjoyed chatting with you and having you share with our listeners everything that you do at KM Service. And I'd love if you could share with our audience where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Absolutely. So you can 100% just shoot me an email. It's kathleen@kmservice.co.com. CO. Also, my website is www.kmservice.co. And then on Instagram, it's underscore KM Service.
Perfect. And I will link to those in the show notes. That way, our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for being a guest today.
Thank you, Ashley. Had a great time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.